Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I'm going tonight to 1 Corinthians 15 to start with. And we'll look at that scripture, and then we look at some others most likely. But we want to start here, 1 Corinthians 15. And I just want to talk to you tonight about this subject, continual victory. And I'm going to talk about one of the ways we can have continual victory. Now, nothing works if you don't work it. You understand that? A lot of people live in fantasy land, like someday it's in the sweet by. It's not coming. You have to go possess it. Amen. Some people live their lives out all that way, that one day my ship's coming in. You got to send one out, brother. You got to do something. And so I want to talk to you about one of the ways that you and I can have continual victory. But let's look at a couple of scriptures as our foundation here. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, Paul said, but thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We're given the victory. Amen. Bible says we're more than conquerors. Amen. You know, I heard a good definition of that years ago. What's more than a conqueror? Well, guy's a heavyweight boxer. He trains for months and months. You know, some of those guys, you know, they train like 6 months for a fight or something like that, or at least several weeks for a fight, do all the road work and all that, put in all that, and they go in and, you know, win all that money, and then they hand the check over to their wife. He was a conqueror, but she's more than a conqueror, because she didn't have to do anything. She just got the victory. I mean, that's the way it was with Jesus. Amen? We didn't have to do anything. He just gave us the victory. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, because this is another scripture along those lines I wanted to read for a foundation. Then we're going to get into the meat of what we talk about tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to feast at God's word? Yes. It's like being on what are those carnival cruises? Nathan and Beth just went on one. Was it fun? Was the food good? Everybody says that. I have a pastor friend at his church. I don't know where it's for some reason, the anniversary or whatever, sent him and his wife on a cruise, one of those cruises to Canada, or not Canada. No, not Caribbean. Alaska. And everybody talks about the food. I mean, a floating buffet, what a deal. Amen. But have you know, we got a buffet right here. Amen. All right, now 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Amen. Amen. That word triumph means like a victory parade, processional parade, and maketh manifest the savor of the aroma of his knowledge by us in every place. So every place we go, people should be smelling victory. They should smell that aroma of his knowledge by us, because he always causes us to triumph in Christ. Hallelujah. I just couldn't go to a defeated church. I couldn't go to a defeated place. I just couldn't survive there. That's just not in my DNA, my makeup, since I became a new creature in Christ. I've seen him defeat too many things in my life. I'm still grateful. I'm a grateful man. I'm still grateful that I'm saved, man. I remember the weekend I got saved. I'll never forget it, man, as long as throughout eternity. I mean, on Friday night, I had to crawl up the steps to get into the house. I was that messed up. And on Sunday night, I walked up those steps, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And you know, you may not believe this, but I'm just telling you what I saw. And I got back into my bedroom, sat down on my bed, and I saw a little imp-looking creature go out my bedroom window. And I didn't know anything about demons. I didn't ever even heard of Brother Hagin. And I hadn't heard anything about any of this. I just knew I saw something, and I thought, did I see what I saw? And it was after I read Brother Hagin's book on deliverance and demons, I realized, well, that's what I saw that night. That when I walked in there of that glory, that devil knew he was defeated. He wasn't running my life any longer, and he left. Hallelujah. We have the victory. Amen. So I want to talk about this. One of the ways, this isn't the only way, but I want to talk about one of the ways that we walk in continual victory. I like continual victory. We face issues, you know that, but victory's sweet. Amen. All right, look at Psalm 34. Go there. I'm going to look at some scripture tonight, if that's okay with y'all. But Psalm 34, let's go there. Victory doesn't mean we don't have any problems. Victory means we come out on top. Amen. Psalm 34, I wish we didn't have any problems. How many wish that? How many believe you could say, I could take some of that, Pastor? It's coming. It's coming. But it's not in this life. Oh, I thought you meant maybe coming like in a couple years, like 2027 or something, you know? No, it could be. We could be in heaven in 2027. But, you know, as long as you're here, you're going to have faith to overcome. Because you're going to have things to overcome. Whether they be financial or physical or mental, you know, attacks against your mind or your body or your finances or your family or your dog, cat, bird, canary. I don't know. Whatever. But faith worketh. Amen. And so I understand that part of this process that we do face things, but God gives us the victory. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. Even if you were to die, you still got the victory. Amen. Because you cannot be defeated. Yeah. Amen. Right. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Come on, are you all now? Listen to me. See, even the Apostle Paul had such a mind of victory. When you read his writings, he had such a mind of victory that when he was in the prison and he writes to the Philippian church, he said, the prison was going to take Paul's life. The government was going to take his life. And he writes to the church at Philippi and he says, I am in a strait, the King James says. I'm having a hard time deciding whether to stay or to go and be with the Lord. In other words, he said to stay would be a blessing to you and I'd be able to help you. But to go and be with Christ would be far, far, far better. See, you got to look at it that way. If you're in Christ and you die, it just got far better. Amen. Where he said, for me to die is gain. Gain. That word gain means promotion. I just got promoted. I'm out of this earthly life. I'm now in the heavenly life. Hallelujah. But what I want to show you all that is that he writes to the church. He's the prison system has him. He's in prison in Rome. Sorry about that. But he's writing to the church at Philippi. But the Roman system has him. The Roman government has him. They're going to take his life. And he says, I can't decide whether I'm going to die, I'm going to stay. In other words, Paul was saying the government's not deciding when I'm going. I've got victory. Yeah. If I want to go, then they'll be able to take my life. If I don't, I'm going to stay. That's a victory mindset. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Raymond T. Ritchie, he was an old tent preacher back in the 50s. He died on the platform. But when he was preaching, those that were the present said that when he was preaching, he was preaching his sermon and said, he did this a few times. He shook his head, said, no, not yet. No, not yet. You'll have to wait. Yeah, he said, you'll have to wait. No, not yet. You'll have to wait. And nobody knew what he was talking about. But when he got done preaching, he went back and sat in the chair on the platform, slumped over and went to heaven. What was he saying? He was telling death, I'm not done preaching yet. I'm not done with my sermon. You'll have to wait. We have victory. I said, we have victory. I've just determined I'm not letting the devil tell me when I'm leaving this earth. I'm going to decide. When are you going to go, Pastor? I don't know. I haven't decided. Probably the moment I feel like I'm done, I'll probably just go on. Because you're like, Paul, I'm not like Paul. He said, because you need my help, I'm going to stay. If I'm going. Somebody else can help you. How many feel that way? Was that selfish? Maybe it was. Okay. Well, maybe I'll stay just a little bit longer. All right. But not too much longer. But how many understand we have victory? Amen. Now, let's go here. I ask you, I think, go to Psalm 34, right? Look at verse 3. No, I'm sorry. Verse 1. Psalm 34, 1. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. How, at when? All times. Good times, right? Everything's going good. When things aren't going so great. All times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I mean, if you want continual victory, you need to have continual praise. There's got to be a praise in your mouth. Every day. I don't miss a day. I'm just not bragging on me, but I'm just giving an example. I don't miss a day that I'm not thanking God for the things that He's blessed me with. Amen. And the spiritual things, but also the natural things that He's blessed me with, because they're important too. Amen. David, look, and you may know this, but when David, you know, we know about the tabernacle of Moses, then there's what's called the tabernacle of David. Anybody ever read that in the Bible? Talks about the tabernacle of David. Tabernacle of David was different than the tabernacle of Moses. The tabernacle of Moses had form, ritual, and you better not mess up. The tabernacle of David, David went and got the ark from Obed-Edom's house after the Philistines had captured it and taken it. You know, the Philistines thought it'd be a good idea to take the ark. And once they took the ark, they thought it'd be a good idea to send it back. Because all kinds of things started happening, not good. And they thought, hey, who can stand before this holy God? Let's send this thing back. And they sent it back, and it ended up in Obed-Edom's house. And the Bible said the Lord blessed him. And so David sees that, and he says, I'm going to go get that. I'm going to bring it back to Jerusalem. So he went and got the ark and brought it back. But instead of putting it in, you know, the tabernacle, he pitched a tent on Mount Zion and set it up the ark, and they worshiped before the ark 24/7. 24/7. Amen. Now, we know in the Bible there's living creatures that fly around the throne at 24/7 and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. 24/7. Have you ever thought that God might get tired of that same thing? Evidently not. Now me, I'd say, like, don't you guys know anything else? What would you think if Jill did the same song every service, every song? Yeah, look at Mark. He's going, yeah, do one way Jesus if you're going to do it, all right? All right, yeah. But how many understand, God doesn't get tired of our praise, does He? Sometimes we think, you know, it's redundant, but it's not to God. Amen? Amen. All right, look at Luke 24. Everybody say continually. Amen. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Look at Luke chapter 24. I want to show you something there. I just want to run with this theme tonight. Just this, if we're going to have continual victory, we need to have continual praise. It's a key. It is a key. There's other things, but it's a key. Luke 24, verse 50, talking about Jesus and His disciples, it says, He led them out as far as to Bethany, and He lifted up His hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while He blessed them, He was parted from them and carried up to heaven, and they worshiped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. I read that verse one time and I thought, maybe that's why they had continual victory. Because they were continually praising and blessing God. Amen. Say, so not just when things are going well, not just when there's no pain, but how many know, in the midst of everything. See, the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. not for everything, but in everything. God didn't cause everything. How many know that? There was a teaching when we were first getting started about praising God for everything. And while there were some good elements to that teaching, the core of it wasn't really quite on target. All right. At least it got people praising God. Right? But people are like, praise God for my car wreck. Praise God for my cancer. No, God didn't do any of that stuff. You praise Him in the midst of it, but you only praise Him for what He does. And He does all things well. Amen. He does things good, right? So that it was good, you know. In those days, people praised the Lord, it seemed like, a lot more than they do today. Really. And they had more victory, too, and more manifestations. But right, because it's the key. It's one of the keys to continual victory. I like continual victory. How many like continual victory? Yeah. Amen. Losing's terrible. Now, I'm not a real, like some people are real competitive. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a real competitive in the natural. It's like, I don't care to lose at cards. Some people, like, they get bummed out. I don't care when my team loses. Well, I care, but I'm over it in like 15 seconds, maybe a minute, 2 minutes. Depends on who beat them. Sometimes it depends on who beat them. But I'm not one of these people that it bums me out. It just never was. Just not that way, you know, and all. But I don't like to lose to the devil. Right. Amen. I don't like him getting any victories over me. Amen. So I'll fight that. But, you know, I mean, you know, you just got to you got to know that if you follow that our victories, let me say it this way, our victories in Christ. You understand that? If we're doing things that aren't in Christ, don't expect much victory. It's in Christ. So it's the things that are in Christ that cause us to have victory. Praise is in Christ. Give thanks to God. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So here we see they praise God continually. They were continually in the temple praising and blessing God, and they were experiencing some victory. Now, go to Hebrews chapter 13. Like I said, we're going to look at some passages tonight instead of preaching from just, you know, 3 or 4 or 5. We're going to look at some tonight. Hebrews 13. I want you to see some things out of the Bible about continual victory and how we can have continual victory. Praise God. Continual victory. Amen. I mean, this isn't serving God, winning isn't like a poker game. Oh yeah, you don't know what I'm talking about. How many ever, Mitch, you used to play poker? Of course, I should have known Angie did. She runs from the cops. We don't know what all that girl did. But, you know, I played poker. I liked to gamble before I got born again, you know. And, I had one of those nights one night that it just wasn't going well. And I made the gambler's mistake that night. And the gambler's mistake is keep trying. I should have listened to the prophet Kenny Rogers. You got to know when to hold them. You got to know when to fold them. You got to know when to walk away. You got to know when to run. And I know that. If it's not going well, leave. Don't keep saying, well, it'll turn. It won't. It's not your night. The card gods are against you. You got to run. And I didn't. And man, I lost most of my money that night. But how many know playing this game, this spiritual game, being this race, I don't mean to call it a game, but this race, it's not a hit or miss proposition. It's not we win sometimes, we lose sometimes. The Bible says He always causes us to triumph. We can win every time. Amen. We can win every time. And even at times, it may look like it's over with, but you're not done. Amen. You know, I've seen people go down to the mat and almost counted 3 out. But before they got to the 3, they got up. How many know Lazarus went down to the mat, didn't he? He was 4 days dead. But he got up. I'm not so sure what he thought about that later on. You know, he went somewhere, right? See, there's goofy things in the world, believes goofy things. Don't believe goofy things. Some people think their relatives are floating around out there haunting them sometimes. Like my old Aunt Ethel, man. I used to have an aunt. She went to heaven, thank God. She's not out there floating around haunting me. But she always called me old stupid. Old stupid. Amen. Thank God she was a false prophet. Amen. Yeah, I had a fifth grade teacher one time told me I was going to turn out to be like Adolf Hitler. I was going to be another Adolf Hitler. It just gives you an idea of what kind of kid I was. I grew out of that, but I had some issues. See, they didn't call, what's the learning, ADHD, they didn't call it that in my day. They called it BRAT. That's what they called you. And so I don't know that I had that, but I definitely had my share of issues and all. I got F in citizenship. I was just basically told, they, one more step and we're removing your card to the human race. But God. Amen. I grew up, I settled down. But God, amen. But I really settled down when I met Jesus Christ. But he always wants us to triumph. Not just once in a while. And you may be at a place tonight where you look like, man, they're about to count me out. Hey, it isn't over. As a kid, I used to watch, some of you probably still do. I don't want to offend anybody, but I used to watch championship wrestling. And, you know, I don't know whether you know this or not. I don't know that I may get banned from Facebook for saying this, but it's fake. See, Mona's already offended at me because she watches it all the time. No. Help me understand, but they are, now listen, that's not to say they're not athletic. They're really good at what they do. Don't misunderstand me. But they don't hate each other. They're friends. One preacher, minister, had an uncle that was one of the championship wrestlers, and he was so excited because his uncle invited him to go to one of the matches with him. He said, and when I was so disappointed, he said, because before the match, the guy he was fighting him, and they were back in the back room playing cards together. They were friends. Yeah. Now they get out there, and I'm going to kill you. I'm going to rip your arm off, beat you with the bloody end. You know, but it's just all, I don't even know why I'm telling this. This has no spiritual value whatsoever. But anyway, you may look like, you know, because sometimes, well, I know what I was going to say. Remember, sometimes they get on the mat, and the referee's one, two, about ready to go three, and they throw them off. Well, you may feel like that, but you got to remember, stick with God. He always causes us to triumph. He always gives us the victory. But you're going to have to praise him. I said, you're going to have to praise him. Amen. Look at this. Did we read this in Hebrews? All right, go to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. The Bible says, by him, by Jesus, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So there it is again. We're to offer the sacrifice of praise continually. Giving thanks to his name. So you have to ask yourself. How many of you got to evaluate yourself sometimes? You got to just check up on yourself. See, how well am I doing? How well am I doing? Am I praising God every day? Am I offering the sacrifice of praise to God? We're called a royal priesthood. Yeah. We're to offer something. Yeah. The priest offers something, doesn't he? We don't offer animal sacrifice. We offer the fruit of our lips. Yeah. Well, you got to ask yourself, am I praising God? Amen. I don't think we'll have time to look at it, but the Bible tells us about the children of Israel. It says that... It tells us to neither murmur, ye as some of them murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. There's a lot of murmuring Christians. Yeah. Really. And we should be praising believers. Yeah. One preacher said this, I love this when she said this. She said, the gripers get the vipers. Remember what happened? The snakes bit them because of their complaining. God said to him, he says, as you spoke it in my ear, that's what's going to happen. We're to serve the Lord, according to Deuteronomy, with joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. I've said it. If the Lord never did anything more for me, the fact that he saved me, I got enough to shout about. Now, he's already paid the price for all the blessings, but I'm just using that as an example. I'm following what I'm saying. If he didn't do anything for me, even if I never received a healing again, even if I never received my needs met again, I've got nothing to complain about. I'm just grateful I get to breathe his air. We have to have thanksgiving about it. You know, we have an entitlement society. We can't let that get in the church. It's like, somebody got to take care of me. Yeah, you. You. Trust God. You with me now? We got that entitlement. You know, and if we get a politician that says he's going to take away some of that, oh, they run like, they scream like mashed cats. You ever notice how easy it is for them to give your money away? You know, we're going to give you this, we're going to give you that. Oh, you going to pay for it? No, they ain't going to pay for it. They give, it's, I can give Pastor Jerry's money away to you all day long. What do you want? Ask me so much as half of his kingdom, I'll give it to you. It's easy to give his money away. You know, he takes me out to eat. It's easy to find the, oh, yeah, I'll take the lobster, the filet mignon. Oh, yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. That's why he never takes me. He takes me all these dives, you know, cheap places, you know. Is Taco Bell okay? Just get water. You never get any caviar when you go out with him to eat, you know. You know, you can take it, but you open the door and the door falls off, you know, and the rest. I said, what happened there? All right, we're embellishing it a little bit. But, you know, it's easy to spend somebody else's money, right? Amen. You understand that when God did everything he did through Jesus, he didn't do that so we would live in defeat here on the earth and only experience victory when we get to heaven. You understand that? See, we're to be, the Bible says, I think it's 1 Peter, it says we're to show forth the praises of him, show forth his praises. Amen. His excellence. See, in other words, we're to be so excited about the Lord. We're to praise the Lord, be blessed, and be of such a blessing of the Lord that people see that. Yeah, right. Amen. We can't get caught up in this griping. We should be thankful for what God has done for us. Yes. Amen. Well, I just felt it was just too cold at church today. Well, it was too hot at church, I thought. Well, all right, who are we supposed to listen to? I have no idea. I'm not saying, I don't know, I don't control the thermostats. I have authority to, I just don't. See what I'm saying? You know, you hear this from, not from many of you sweet sheep. Hallelujah. But you do hear this. You hear believers, you go to lunch, you hear them complain about, well, I thought the sermon was too long. Well, I thought it was too short. They talked about offering again, money again, you know. Amen. And the Bible says, for this cause, many are weak and sick, and some have died because of the way we do things like that. That's 1 Corinthians 11:30. You got to judge yourself, don't you? You got to be thankful. Just be thankful you get to come to church. The honorary thing. Just be thankful we let you in. That's a joke. Come on, lighten up, everybody. Every time you come, you cost us money. Just breathe. There went some of our air conditioning. We got to pay for that. How many know we ought to just be thankful we're part of the kingdom? I've just developed that attitude, you know. So they didn't notice me. So they didn't ask me to preach. So they didn't do this. So they didn't do that. Whatever. Thank God I get to be here. Thank God I get to be in the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I thought, well, don't do that. Just be thankful to God. Amen. All right. How many are mad at me now? Okay. I'm not done. Give me another opportunity, please. Go to 2 Chronicles. Go there. I want to look at one more thing after this, and then we'll be done tonight. Did you get anything tonight? 2 Chronicles. Go there. We're just talking about continual victory. I like continual victory. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The story behind this is Judah, Jehoshaphat is the king. And there's armies come against Judah, and they're outnumbered. And so they go to God. They cry out to God for help. And in verse 20 of 2 Chronicles, it says, "And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established, and believe his prophets, and so shall you prosper.' And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, 'Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever.'" So instead of sending the army out, he sent praisers out. Amen. He sent praisers out. There's a book I have at home. It's by a medical doctor, a lady doctor. Actually, she got born again. She got addicted to drugs. The drugs she was, prescribing, she got addicted to them. She was prescribing to the patient. She started taking it herself. And got addicted and, had to be delivered. The Lord had to deliver her. She was born again. And then she went around preaching what she called the sure cure. Her name was Lillian B. Yeomans. Anybody ever read any of her books? Yeah. And she has one. We've got it's like a thicker book. It's called Treasury of Healing. And it's just about healing. And one of the chapters is on the praise cure. I love that chapter. She talks about how, and the medical industry, and we're talking about many years ago, I'm not quite sure when she lived, but probably early 1900s maybe. But she talks about some of the things they did to, get people cured. And we don't realize that, but you go back and they did bloodletting and stuff like that. I mean, this painful stuff they did to try to help you. But she talked about one woman that went to Austria because there was some sulfur water there that you could drink, and it was supposed to help your constitution quite a bit. And she said it smelt like rotten eggs and matches, sulfur. Tasted just as bad. But she said you'd go there and stay. It cost a lot of money to do this. You go there, she said she had to stay in an attic room upstairs in this house that she said she wouldn't ask anybody in America to stay at. And she said it was cold. She said, when I get up in the morning, there'd be a thin layer of ice on the basin where there was water because this is part of the cure. And so she said you would have to march for a few miles to go get breakfast out in the cold, part of the cure. You get there, you get one brown small roe, and maybe an egg, maybe, if the doctor's prescribed it for you. And they would give you this sulfur water to drink. And, it's like Miss Yeoman said, maybe that helped some people, but there's a better way. Yeah. He talked about there was a mud cure. No, you didn't eat it. You wallowed in it. I thought, well, if that cure worked, I'd have been healthy all the days I was a kid. and so forth. But Miss Yeoman talked about the sure cure, which is the praise cure. And in her book, she talks about Carrie Judd, which was a lady preacher many years ago, had a home for people, a healing, for people to come be healed. And there was a missionary from China that went to China. She wasn't Chinese, but she was a missionary to China, had gotten smallpox. And in those days, smallpox would kill you. This was before the cures. And so she was just covered with them. Looked like it was the end for her. And the Lord began to talk to her about, praise me, praise me. So she just began to praise the Lord. did it all night. You know, they thought, well, what's going on with her? But she just kept praising the Lord and praising the Lord. And in the morning, all the pox was gone. But she said, while she was praising the Lord showed her a vision. And she saw two baskets. She said, on one basket, it had testing. On the other basket, it had praise. And the testing basket's down here because it's heavy. The praise basket's up here because it's light. And the Lord showed her, said, you need to reverse that. Your praise needs to outweigh your testing. Oh, that's good. Your praise needs to outweigh your testing. So she kept praising, and long in the night, she saw that flip. Praise is down here, testing's up here. Because she praised the Lord until she was totally healed. Brother Hagin tells a story about once again, this was before the cures, about a preacher who got tuberculosis. And he was dying. And he was an evangelist, so he traveled around. And everywhere he'd go, he'd ask people to pray for him. You pray for me, I'm fighting tuberculosis. He'd call people on the radio, pray for me, I'm fighting tuberculosis. And so he was so weak, he couldn't preach any longer, and no income coming in, that him and his wife had to move in with her parents. And so he couldn't work, couldn't do anything, just lay in bed. So he's laying there in bed one day, and they're all out doing their chores and stuff, and he's in there by himself, and he got to thinking, you know what? If prayer was going to do it, I'd be healed by now. I got hundreds, thousands of people praying for me. He said, I saw a clump of trees just, you know, a little ways from the house, and he said, I said to the Lord, said, if you'll give me enough strength to get to those trees, I will go down there, and I will praise you till you heal me or I'm dead. He said, something happened. He said, I felt a little strength coming to me. So he said, I got down there, and he said, I got in those clump of trees. He said, when I laid down, he said, the devil said, well, now you've done it. You're going to die out here. Nobody knows where you're at. The buzzards will have to lead them to you. But he began to praise God. He said, after 2 hours, he said, I don't know when it happened, but he said, after 2 hours, I was standing up on my feet, yelling at the top of my lungs, praise to God, and was totally healed. Isn't that something? Praise brought him out. One time in the 80s, I had someone dear to me was going through something, and I wanted to see him healed. I was in my study bedroom, slash, it was both at that time. And I just was praying for him, and the Lord said, don't pray any longer, just praise me, they're healed. So I just took off praising him that they were healed, and I just kept at it, and I kept at it, and they kept at it, and kept at it, and guess what, they got healed. Hallelujah. Sometimes, you know, we pray, but sometimes there needs to be some praise. Remember Paul and Silas, when they were in the jail? The Bible says they were thrown in jail at midnight. They pray at midnight. Sometimes there's that midnight hour. At midnight, they prayed and they sang praises unto God, and they weren't doing it. They weren't doing it in their heart, because the Bible said the prisoners heard them. They weren't just, oh, glory to God, praise God. They were doing it loud. And the Bible said, and suddenly there was a great earthquake and all the foundations were shaken. All the bonds were loosed and the prison doors were opened. You talk about jailhouse rock. Brother, that was jailhouse rock. God shook that place. Oh, listen to that. I got it circled in my Bible. Foundations shaken. How many know sometimes we need some foundations shaken? Amen. Bonds were loosed. Prison doors were opened. All because they praised. Amen. They praised God at the midnight hour. Amen. How many want continual victory? How many? They walked out of that jail with victory. Amen. They walked out with victory. Paul told the church at the Philippian church, he said, when you pray, add thanksgiving. And the peace of God will keep you. Hallelujah. You'll have victory. Yeah. Now let's finish reading this out, and we'll be done tonight. verse 22 says, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy one another. How many know they're kind of messed up here, aren't they? They're killing one another. Praise confuses the devil. I heard Hilton Sutton. Brother Sutton was a prophecy teacher, if you don't know. How many know the name Hilton Sutton? Yes. Brother Sutton was a prophecy teacher for many years. He told me personally, I was talking to him one time after a meeting in the back room with the ministers. He said, he told me I began preaching, I think he told me in the 1960s in a tent on prophecy. To me, Brother Sutton was the ultimate prophecy teacher in the body of Christ. He just was. And he was teaching one time, and he was talking about the Ezekiel 38-39 war in your Bible. It talks about, it lists some nations. It calls, uses their old name, and one of them it calls Meshach, you know, and uses different names. But it's referring to countries from the north. It's talking about Russia, and it's talking about something in the future is going to happen, where Russia and some other countries are going to come against Israel, all right? And God says, when you do, and we know it's going to be an aerial attack because, you know, it says, you will ascend on the mountains of Israel. Well, direction-wise, they would go south, not north. So it's talking about getting in the air. God says, when it does, when you do that, I'm going to cause one of the biggest hailstorms you've ever seen. So, you know, when you fly those missions, you check the weather out. Amen. That's how D-Day, you know, it looked like D-Day wasn't going to take off, wasn't going to happen because of the weather. But finally, one of the meteorologists said, I think we got a 24-hour window to go do this thing. And they asked Ike Eisenhower, what do you say? Because he was calling the shots. He says, he said, I don't like it, but let's go do it. Thank God he did it. Amen? Amen. So anyway, what's going to happen is when these countries come against Israel, it's going to look like a clear day. All of a sudden, we're going to have a storm. Amen. And I don't know whether this is so now, but back then, Brother Sutton said, the radar on these modern planes that we had then, this is probably back in the 80s when he was teaching on this, they won't work in hailstorms. They get false readings. They feed off the hail. They bounce off of it. The radar does. I assume it's still the same way. But whatever happens, God said, you're going to die on the mountains of Israel. Yeah. Well, how many know he just did that for them there, right there? They praise the Lord, and he caused their enemies to get confused. Now look what else happened. This is really good. I like the rest of this. We'll finish reading this. We'll let you go. It says, verse 24, when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked upon the multitude, and behold, they were all dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Isn't that something? You're going out to fight, you send the praisers out, you go out there, and they're all dead. I'm like, hey, this isn't so hard. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance, both riches with dead bodies, precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. Hallelujah. Amen. How many like some of those kind of victories where there's too much to take home? That's what happened. You and I, let me just caution you with this. We've got to watch this. We've got to make sure that praise is on our lip. Not complaining. Because things aren't always going to go right in life. Anybody figured that out? I was having one of those days. I've told you about it. I'll tell on myself. You know, I don't even remember what all wasn't going right. But it wasn't going right. And I wasn't complaining about people. I just very seldom ever do that. Because I get in trouble when I do. you know, God puts a stricter rope on some of us. And I said some things about a preacher here the other day. And the next thing you know, I had two problems going on. And the Lord spoke and said, well, it came from that. I said, yep, I repent. I'm sorry. I'll never do that again. Amen. And those problems resolved themselves without me having to do anything to them. It just got fixed. It's like there was no reason why they should fix themselves, but they did, because I repented. Now, maybe God doesn't do you that way, but I can't speak evil about people and not get in trouble. I'm not saying God causes the trouble, but it just opens the door for me. I get in trouble. I can't do that. Sometimes I want to. Sometimes I'll hear preachers say things and do things, and I think, well, how stupid can you be? And I just want to tell somebody, hey, they're pretty stupid, aren't they? And they're not my servant. And every time I do, it just seems like I get in trouble. I can't do that. Which I still can. Your day's coming. I know God deals with us all different, but he won't let me get away with that kind of stuff. He said, you keep your mouth off people. Amen. Anyway, since that went over so good, what was I after before I got on that? Anybody remember? Nobody paying attention? I was after something. Well, anyway, praise the Lord. Been good to be with you. I like the way y'all pay attention. So, well, Pastor, you're not paying attention either. I got it. I quit getting on to people for not remembering what I preached last week when I don't remember. I just know it was good, that's all. Well, how do you know? I know what I was going to say now. We have to watch this thing about complaining. We're supposed to be people who have the spirit of faith on us. We having the same spirit of faith. We should be expecting things to work out and have continual victory. So there's nothing to complain about. I'm going to win in this. Stand up. Did you get something tonight? You're going to win because Christ always leads us into triumph. Hallelujah. I'm going to win. I may have a problem. I may have an issue, but I'm going to win. He's not taking me out. Amen. Thank God for his word.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.